best League of Ireland podcast in the business. This is Off the Ball.
Now, I'm delighted to welcome former Kilkenny City, Home Farm, Shelburne and Bohemians player and former Bowes, Sligo and Shells manager and the man who holds the joint most appearances for a League of Ireland player in Europe to his name. 41 appearances, Owen Heary. And this week, Shamrock Rovers, Dundalk, Pats and Cork make their European bows for the season. Champions League first qualifying round, first leg, Dundalk against Riga from the Latvian Higher League on Wednesday, 7:45 in Oriel Park. That's in a Champions League first qualifying round game. The other three matches all take place on Thursday at 7:45 in the Europa League first qualifying round. In Dublin, St. Pat's against IFK Norrköping from Sweden. They're currently sixth in the Swedish top tier. Cork City against Progress Nidecorn. They're from Luxembourg and they're fourth in their league. That's in Turner's Cross. And over there in Brann in Norway, it's Brann against Shamrock Rovers. Brann are currently fifth in the Norwegian top league. Now, on the last time we spoke, before we speak about your time in Europe and these clubs, it was around this time at the end of the season when you left Shelburne and you've had a little break away from the League of Ireland. So how's it been? What have you been up to away from being a League of Ireland manager for the last number of years and a player, of course? You were nearly in the league for years and years and years non-stop and you've had a little break now.
You think there's no life outside of football, but, you know, I've been managing to go to a few games over in England, watching a few games, and home watching a few games. And plus, I had to go on holidays and do things that I haven't been able to do for a long time. So, you know, it's been enjoyable. I can't say it hasn't been. And I still miss the football and being involved in it, but, you know, outside of that, it's always good to go out and watch and see the talent that's coming through as well.
Yeah, because I suppose when you're in the league and, you know, you're training three or four nights a week and your games and you've got all that around it, you probably don't realise the type of things you might be able to do with the missus and the kids and the friends and stuff until you actually have that time to do it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, over the years when you're a player, you're missing out on parties, whether it's 24th, weddings, you know, holidays, going over to watch matches in England, going here, there and everywhere. So, you know, the last while now, I've managed to do that, and I don't have the excuse now of saying, oh, I can't, I'm training tonight, or I'm going to play a match tonight, or I'm going to manage a match tonight. So, yeah, it's been quite enjoyable, to be honest with you.
And what sort of games have you got to watch? I know you've split your time between the senior league, the underage games, and also some Leinster senior league as well.
Yeah, I've gone to Leinster senior games. I was all watching, you know, City, you know, managed to talk to Fergal when I was over there, and, you know, keep in touch with Brian Murphy in the Cardiff games, and speak to him a lot. And, you know, as I said, a lot of the younger age teams as well, I like to get out and see if I can see any talent come through. As I said, young Shane Carroll was down at Shells. I spotted him when he was at Finnish United. So you just don't know when you're travelling around where you can see some young players probably missed a chance of playing League of Ireland underage teams, under-19, things like that. So might have a chance of coming through in the future.
Yeah, now I mentioned at the start your original club in the League of Ireland all the way back in 93. Owen played for Kilkenny City, yeah, Home Farm, Shells and Bowes, and then you managed Bowes Reserves, 19s, first team, Sligo and Shells. So you were almost non-stop from 93 all the way to 2018, and that was, you know, some period of over 500 games and a couple of hundred games as a manager too.
Yeah, no, look, it was enjoyable. As I say, you think when you're involved in the league, you think there's nothing else out there, you know, that you're just constantly going to games or managing games or playing games, and every Friday it's taken up, every Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, where I was supposed to be taking up for, you know, very enjoyable times, and I wouldn't change it, you know, for anything. You enjoy it, especially the playing side of it. I'd say to any player, play for as long as you can, and once he's enjoying it, just keep doing it.
Yeah, and you're only 42, Owen, as well. You started managing quite young, really, you know, in the grand scheme of things, and you would still be, you know, if you were still managing now, and I'm sure you will again, quite a young, or at least relatively young manager. So you managed to pack so much in to that period of playing clearly and in the period where you managed from being the Bowes first team through to Sligo and Shells.
Yeah, you're right. When I retired, I won't say too young because I was 37 at the time, but, you know, I took a step back because of the fact that Bowes at the time were down relegation. I was asked to manage it and take over. So, you know, I didn't feel I could do both playing and managing. I took a step back and we managed to turn things around and stay up in the top flight and went on and improved from there on. And then, as you say, going to Sligo, didn't work out. Shells went there, won two trophies, done well, going into the playoffs. So, you know, and then obviously new owner comes in and wants a new person there that he puts in charge. So, okay, you know, that's his job, that's his business. He's the one putting the money in, so he just had to accept it and move on.
And Owen, has your break, you know, I'm not going to suggest that you're your fire was gone, of course not, but because you were kind of doing it for that period of time straight from player to coach, you probably didn't have time to sit down and reflect and kind of ask what you wanted to do as a manager and that, because you went from Bowles to Sligo and to Shells and it was all quite quick. So has that given you the ambition to go again?
It just goes quickly, you know. And, you know, if I look back, obviously hindsight is a great thing. If I look back at myself, I probably would have advised myself to stay at Bowles because I knew the club inside out and I was enjoying it. Doing things there, and you know, I was in the community doing the things. Started off in Mountjoy, myself, Glenn Crown, and Lynn got that up and running years ago, and they've continued on. In fairness, they've also continued on doing it. They've also continued in the community. You know, I started up in the schools and the camps, and soccer camps, and things like that around the area. And you know, Tommy Hines is down there. I managed to give him all the contacts, all the details, and it's great to see that they've continued on and they've improved and moved on with it. So in hindsight, I probably. Best decision would have been to stay there, but at the time, like, you know, you're getting offered to go full time football to Sligo, and the fact that I was part time down in Bowes, but full time was still, you know, as I said, I was collecting the labour and things like that, so it all made more sense for me to try go full time.
Yeah, because since you stopped as a full-time player on, you've had the time at Sligo full-time, and you've also been at Bowes part-time and Shells part-time, and I say that in the loosest possible term because you're training that number night and you're on the phone non-stop, but you've also managed to get a day job and start working as well as the football as well. So how have you managed to do that since you stopped? Because you would have maybe been with Bowes, as you mentioned, helping out at Mountjoy on the labour, and then you went to Sligo full-time and then Shells.
Yeah, finishing up at Bowes, to be honest with you.
Okay.
They were struggling with money wise at the time, and it made sense then for me because I was enjoying it there, so I said I'd stay there and go as a part time contract, and I also went and done them bits and pieces on the side for the club. So, you know, I was used to the walk side of it. As I said, I started out going back to 93 when you were walking and playing football, so I didn't mind them back walking now. So, you know, as I said, it's gone full circle, but I was part time coming to the end the last couple of seasons in both. And then, as I said, I offered the opportunity to go to Sligo full time. Probably wasn't the right decision for me, but it didn't work out. And I wouldn't have known that unless I tried it. Then back to Shells, and again, you're part time. So I was well used to the work and managing the club. But, you know, I can't say that didn't work out because I thought it did. We only lost 3 games coming to the last season. We won 2 cups, got in the playoffs with minimal budget. You know, we got a team going the right direction, and new owner investor come in, and he's put money into it now that's moved them on again. So it's good to see that the club is doing well. And as I said, I think they'll get promotion this year. I said at the start of the year, but unfortunately, I'm not part of that.
Yeah, what sort of feeling would you have towards that now, Owen, given that you've seen it? I mean, I don't have figures, but it looks as if Andrew Doyle, the owner, has given Ian Morrison his first job as head coach more of a budget. You can see that by the squad available. There's a new full-time chief executive there in David O'Connor. They've got Stephen Henderson there as head of academy. They've got Dave Henderson there as head of football. They seem to have put resources in that maybe weren't put in, certainly to the same level as when you were there. And I'm sure you feel if you were given the budget that Ian has, you could have done a similar job.
Yeah, well, look, if you look at the players, I brought most of the players in, so they're still the same players, and they've added in more experienced players. They paid big money to get experienced players in, you know, and that's, look, he's a man who's invested in the club and he's putting his money in, and as I said, he wants someone there that he can relate to, or he can tell them, you know, what to do and how to play and things like that, and I wasn't that man for him, so he's got Ian Morris in, and as I said, once Shells go up, I'm happy, you know, like I said, no ill feeling towards the fans and towards the team or anything like that. You know, as I said, it didn't work out with me and maybe a couple on the board, but that's football.
And speaking of football, Owen, 41 European appearances, joined with Ollie Cahill as the most capped European player, if that makes sense, in League of Ireland context, about Shells and Bowes. And I know you have like a room in your house with all of the frames and all of the memorabilia and stuff. And I know around this time every year, I'm sure there's lots of good memories packed into that room.
Yeah, no, there is. You know, you look back fondly on the European games and things like that, and the jerseys you managed to get over the years, and having the flames and things up on the walls. And you know, as I said, the one thing I think every League of Ireland player, you know, lives for is the European games. And as I said, like, you know, week in, week out, you know who you're playing against and what the opposition is like. But when it comes to the European games, you're playing, you know, some of the best players from another country, and I think that's the challenge in yourselves and as a team that. You want to prove yourself against them and, you know, hopefully get through a couple of rounds of it and, you know, and get the acknowledgement that you deserve. And, you know, as the papers and news and the television all get hooked on it as well. And so it's so much more enjoyable.
What was Europe like, Owen, to play in when you played in it? Because now there's so much money and there's so much TV and you know, there's so much, you know, publicity around it. I know when you were playing in it, there was still, you know, sums of money involved and it was a massive boost to all the clubs to be in it. But what was it like for you playing in Europe for Shells and Bows back when you did, in comparison maybe to now?
Well, look, you know what, it was massive. I was only talking about it today, you know, about the European game, and I'm going back to the Deportivo game, but when we got off the plane over there, it was like a proper Champions League game, where as soon as you got off the plane, the press are in your face. Sky News Ireland, you know, recording every bit of it, and the press are constantly looking for comments and things like that, and photographs, and the Spanish TV, and, you know, even at the hotel, they were, anytime you walked out, they were looking to take pictures, and it was just a proper feeling to a proper European game, and, you know, the lead up to it, the build up to it, you know, really, really enjoyable. And that's why I loved about the European games. They always had a good feel. You know, the football is not as big in this country as it is in other countries. So when you went over there and you're seeing how big it is in those countries, that it's a national sport, you know, you can really see how massive the European games feel, and it is to an individual player.
Owen, bring me back to 2004 and those games for Shelburne against Deportivo La Coruña, the away leg in Deportivo in Spain, the home leg at Lansdowne Road. It's one of my earliest memories as a young fella back in 2004 of going to watch a League of Ireland match. And I actually, after that, I kind of became a Shells fan when I was a kid, and I went to lots of games in Talca after that. And looking at the photo here, you know, that team, yourself, Steve Williams, Dave Rogers, Jason Byrne, Joseph Ndo, Stewie Byrne, Ollie Cahill, there's Wes Houlihan, you know. God, that photo, like, for me, brings back memories. I can't imagine the stuff you have in that house of yours to think back and remember all the way back then in 2004 and that unbelievable occasion match. And of course, you did really well in the games.
Yeah, we did, you know, but I'd have loved to have an easier draw, you know, and that's perfectly honest. I'd have loved an easier draw to say you had a better chance to get through to the Champions League group stages. You know, if you look back, you see Deportivo the previous year before that got to the semi-final, I think, of the Champions League and beat AC Milan in the quarterfinals, and it shows you how good and how strong they were as a team. And, you know, when you get pulled out of the hat, in one sense you're delighted, oh, you're getting to play, you know, a Spanish team in a competitive game. On the other hand, you're saying, well, what if we'd have got an easier team and got through? I know the exchange now in the format of the European games, where, you know, you see over the years, Dundalk have lost at the third stage but gone into a group stage after that of the Europa Cup, whereas we had to play another preliminary round to try to get into the Europa Cup. But, it was a fantastic feeling. The build-up to it, obviously being moved from Talca to Lansdowne. You know, Lansdowne was the home of Irish football, obviously regarded that as, I think, you know, because the stadium is gone now and you have the Aviva, but Lansdowne was something special. And, you know, the build-up to where people are looking for tickets, and I think we could have sold it out 10 times over. And, you know, we were staying out in the hotel and then travelling down to the game. You see every League of Ireland jersey, you know, from every club going to the match and cheering you on. It was just a real surreal feeling. And, you know, you're going there and you're obviously nervous because there are a lot of talented players. As I keep saying about the likes of Luke Hayes. I know Real Madrid offered 18 million and passed Homie that he mightn't be there, he mightn't be travelling. And then when he's seen the travel list, he's on it. It's Valeron, who Stewie had to marshal the whole game, you know. So it gave us little bits of snippets of how to play against them, how they're going to do, but it's a case of going out and making sure that you played your own game and stay as tight as you can as a unit. But as the game wore on, we realised that, you know, we had a few chances, and I think Jay Bourne, I put a ball in where Jay had a great chance. I thought he was going to hit the back of the net and he just miskicked it, and Alan Moore had a chance and Ollie Cattle had a chance. So I don't think, you know, I think over that game, maybe the one, if you'd have got a 1-0 win going away, it would have been great, but, you know, nil all wasn't too disappointing, and the fact that, you know, that you show that you were able to stand your ground against one of the better teams in Europe.
And to play a game, a League of Ireland match, or, you know, as a League of Ireland team in Lansdowne Road, Owen, and, you know, we've seen it, it's a lot more common now with the new Aviva. Dundalk have played there in a Champions League qualifier. We've had lots of those glamour friendlies. Shamrock Rovers have played there, and of course all the FAI Cup games. But, you know, to have played like a proper competitive European match in front of such a big crowd, and I loved how you described all of the different League of Ireland jerseys on the way to the ground, and the whole League of Ireland and the whole football community, maybe someone that's never seen a League of Ireland team in action, went to go and watch that match.
Yeah, that's the thing that sticks out in your mind, is when you're travelling to the game and you see all these fans going to it, you know, and people that wouldn't have gone to a League of Ireland game would have been calling you the week leading up to any tickets, and everyone trying to get tickets, and your phone was hopping off the wall, you know, and I had to come to a stage where you just said, right, you can't answer the phone anymore for tickets, because you know, you need to get focused on the game. But as I said, Ollie could have sold that ground out 10 times over. There was that much interest. And it was great to see. You know, it really was great to see that fans from other clubs, you know, could wear their jerseys going to the game. It wasn't a case of, you know, I don't wear the Rovers jersey, I don't wear the Bowles jersey or a Pats jersey. They could wear them and turn up and sit in the same stand as a Shelbourne jersey or, you know, as a fella in a Limerick top. It was great because we were all there for the one goal, and that was to see, you know, Shells progress, well, try progress in Europe against one of the mightier teams. And unfortunately, you said, we drew nil on that game, missed a couple of chances, and then lost the second game, but we still held our own for a while, I think, in the second leg of it.
Yeah, and now Owen, our attention is turning to the teams involved this week, and we've got Dundalk in a Champions League qualifier against Riga from Latvia on Wednesday, and then Shamrock Rovers in Norway against Brann, Pats, Holmes and Norrköping from Sweden, and Cork home to Progress, Niederkorn from Luxembourg, and of course Dundalk and Rovers both flying in terms of their form and their league position. Some Pats have been up and down and, you know, have won, I think, three of the last four. Cork, on the other hand, are still trying to come to terms with their squad and with John Caulfield leaving. So the hopes of everybody are that all of those teams can really try and perform, and hopefully, we know Dundalk have a back path through, but for the other three teams, it's win or bust in this first round for the Europa League to try and get through and effectively double their money.
Yeah. Well, you look at Dundalk against Riga, and I think Dundalk is too strong for Riga, to be honest with you. And I remember playing against Riga back in, I think, 2008. I actually got sent off against them in the 90th minute. I wasn't a send off, Jamie, before you say that. The referee had a look at the television after and realised he made a mistake. But, you know, I think Dundalk, you know, flying at the moment, top of the table, looks like they're going to, you know, win it again. Riga, you know, top of the table over there, and they've got a couple of good results, like in the last couple of games. I think they played on Thursday and drew nil all, but I honestly think Dundalk would be too strong for them and, you know, could get through that round quite easily.
Yeah, and of course Dundalk squad, Andy Boyle, who we assume will be available to play in Europe, and you know, we can say the same probably about Shamrock Rovers with their signings. I know Neil Ferrugia is injured, but certainly Graeme Cummins and Gary O'Neill should be available, and those two teams, they're in such good form in the league as well, and the style of passing football that they both play as the top two here, that should suit hopefully a European style for both of those games.
Yeah, definitely. You know, say with Rovers, like, they have some quality midfielders and defensively they've been strong, but you know, they probably had a bit of, you know, options lacking up front, but they've managed to rectify that. They got in Cummins and Gary O'Neill signing for them. I think Gary O'Neill is a very good player, you know, good signing for them, and he give them a little bit something extra, you know, in the 10 role if he plays there or even in midfield. But you're right in saying that they've Brann, so fifth in the table over in Norway. You know, Rovers, I think, will be looking to see, you know, stamp their authority and go and win that game, get through. I think Brann have conceded a lot of goals late, you know, out of that game. So I really think that the likes of Rovers and Dundalk can definitely progress through those fourth rounds anyway.
Yeah, for St. Pat's, they're in the Europa League by default as such, because Waterford weren't allowed in, and Pat's haven't had a run of probably four or five seasons in a row in Europe, sometimes getting through a couple of rounds, sometimes not doing so well under Liam Buckley, and Harry Kenny is now in charge, and they have a home game at Richmond. I know they're almost sold out for that one, and it'll be interesting to see how they fare against this Norrköping team from Sweden.
Yeah, decent team. You know, Swedish football is decent football, and they've got a few results as well in the last couple of games. They've won three out of the last four games, so I'm sure they'd be coming over, looking at the table where Pats are and fancy their chances, you know, of getting a result to take back to Sweden. But, you know, Pats been up and down this year. They've lost the Rovers, and then they've gone out and won games, good games, and you just don't know where they are at the moment. It's Harry's fourth season, so it's a difficult one. But I still think it'll be a hard game for them to get through that. You know, I'm hoping they will, but I can't see them progressing through the first round of it.
And finally for Cork as well, Owen, they've been used to being in Europe and, you know, heading in as either first or second in the League of Ireland with a good squad, and under John Caulfield, and similar to Pats, it'll be the first time that John Cotter, who's coached in Europe before, is the manager or head coach, and they have Frank Kelleher in with the pro licence and the rest of the staff there, but their league form has just been so patchy. I'll be interested to see how they fare, and also what the crowd is like at Turner's Cross, because they've had that place packed for European games before, but there just does not seem to be the same enthusiasm around Cork, which I'm sure is a little bit understandable given their league position and the amount of games they've lost.
Yeah, but it's strange, like, you know, Cork, after the last couple of seasons that they've had, that they're struggling this year. You know, they've got a poor start, as you're saying, and then they let John go, and you know, they've been up and down, and but you know, the Cork fans will always be there for European games. The one thing is they do get behind their team, and but, you know, it'll be interesting to see how the Groningen progress, who got through the preliminary rounds, you know, against Cardiff and you. But you know, I think looking at it, in Luxembourg team, maybe Cork will be too strong for them. But Cork's form, as you say, has been indifferent this year. So, you know, they're up and down, and you're just hoping on the day that they put in a performance that we know that they're capable of doing. You know, I think that's been lacking is the consistency with Cork this year. They just need to get that right and start getting the consistency back and settling in their home games. You know, Cork was always a fortress to go down to, you know, but it hasn't been that way this year. They've, as I said, they've been struggling, been patchy, played well in patches and then struggled in other games. So it'll be interesting to see how the likes of European teams come over and approach the games against the likes of Cork and Pats. You know, whereas you look at the team, Brand is playing against Rovers, they know Rovers are on form and they're doing well. They might come defensively, whereas, you know, Norcombe, you can pronounce that.
Norcopping, I think.
Norcopping and progress. It'll be interesting to see if they come looking to take a 1-0 win or try to go and score a goal at home to take back to their countries and see can they get through after that.
Great stuff as always, Owen Heary. Thanks a million for your time. Enjoy the rest of the sabbatical and hope to see you back in the dugout soon. Thanks a million.
Cheers, Jamie. Thanks very much.
The best League of Ireland podcast in the business. This is Off the Ball.